Hi, this is Warren Rogan of the Sports Forgotten Heroes podcast, here to share a winning strategy for Father's Day from our partners at Sterling Roastery. If your dad treats his morning coffee like a pregame ritual, you need to introduce him to the Sterling Roastery lineup. This isn't that stale, over-roasted stuff sitting on a grocery shelf. Sterling roasts their beans multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. The smart play? A coffee subscription. He gets to choose his grind from French press to espresso and his favorite roast depth. It's a world-class lineup of Java that shows up like a reliable veteran on a perennial powerhouse team. Go to sterlingsoap.com and set him up. He'll thank you with every cup. That's Sterling, S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G, soap.com.
We'd like to welcome everybody back to the Football's Family Podcast. And this time of year is one of my favorites. I have traditions go around. I've talked about this before. It's the NFL draft time. The NFL draft, as I'm recording this, will be next Thursday. And it's going to be one of those things that I am looking forward to. I do have traditions that I do on Thursdays. I watch the NFL draft. This year I'm going to add pancakes to it. If you know the movie Draft Day, you know what I'm talking about. I'm going to watch the NFL draft, going to eat pancakes, going to watch Draft Day, going to Buffalo Wild Wings and going to my parents in Bon Aqua, Tennessee to watch the draft. It's just things like that I've done for several years now, and I'm looking forward to it. And this year, it's higher stakes for me, for my team in particular. I have nothing to do with it, but it's my team, the Titans. We have the first overall pick because we had such a great year. And I'm being sarcastic about that if you can't tell. We had such a great year that we won two games. And how awesome is that to know that your team is the number one pick that year? And not just for trading up, because we're going to talk about that in just a second. If your team traded up to get the number one draft pick, that's okay. You had enough draft capital, and you believed in that guy so much that he could take you over the edge that you're willing to do that. The Titans were in that situation, and the teams I'm going to talk about here in a minute were not necessarily in that situation either, because the draft and the free agency are the only really two ways to grow your team. You have to get the guys in there that you think are going to win, even a short-term or long-term fix. The draft is one of those things that if you build up over the years, that's how you do it. The Steelers did it. The Patriots did it. If you build up through the draft, you have several more years longer than if you did over free agency. With free agency, you're looking at a guy who wants his second or third contract, and he has already proven something, obviously, if you're going to give him any type of money. But they may not have the same kind of draw unless they're trying to win a Super Bowl. They may not have the same type of effort exuded. When it comes to the draft, you have people, especially in the second, third, fourth, fifth rounds in that area, who are going to try harder, going to do more to get in to the NFL, stay in the NFL, to get that second contract. But whatever the case is, to me, the draft time is one of the more explosive and fun and great times. You have the combines. You have visits. You have pro days there at the schools. You have people going to these schools to talk about a certain player or a certain situation or a certain position. And if you have NFL executives going to your school to see you, that kind of tells you something, especially if the NFL invites you to come to the draft. Now, I'd say this, we know from certain situations with Aaron Rodgers and with Brady Quinn that it takes a while, and sometimes it goes even to the second day, and we've seen that happen before. And the one thing I appreciate now about ESPN or NFL Network is that they do not focus on people like putting cameras in their faces of people who have fallen from the first round to the second round. Will Levis had that happen to him where he went from the first round to the second round and he was invited to the draft. Well, He went home and was drafted the next day. It happens. But with the Brady Quinn, with the Aaron Rodgers things, you see the camera just focused right on them the entire time, and it is embarrassing. But I was thinking today, and I want to share this, and I want to see what you think about this. I was thinking, since 2010, the 2010 draft, obviously there has been several draft picks, first overall draft picks. How many of them, quarterback wise, were picked first overall, and where did their team come from after that? Before that, where did their team come to get the first overall pick, and they pick a quarterback? And I thought this was actually pretty cool that obviously there are several quarterbacks picked first overall since 2010. Now, I'm not going to go into their career because to me, some of the careers are still being done. And you would know these people when I tell you that. I'm not talking so much about their career, although I did look, and the next season, several of them made improvements because they had to make improvements. They had to be improvements from what they were before. But they made improvements and they got better and better and better. Several of them did. Some of them didn't. But even some of them are still playing right now, which is impressive because some of them are a little bit older in the draft picks. Their draft pick was further back. So for just a minute, I want to run through a few of them. Actually, I'm going to run through all of them, but just focusing on the quarterback. 2010, the Rams picked Sam Bradford. 2009, they were 1-15, so they immediately had the number one draft pick. Now, Sam Bradford signed a massive contract for being the first overall draft pick. He guaranteed money big time at that time. That kind of led into the rookie wage scale, because what was happening is that you could not find many of the veterans had enough of this. There's no reason for you to pay. Matt Stafford was a year before that. There's no reason for you to pay a rookie who has not been proven at all that high of guaranteed money. Sam Bradford, Matt Stafford really brought in the rookie wage scale with the next CBA, and that's actually kind of interesting to see that. In 2011, Cam Newton was drafted. Go back to 2010, Carolina was 2-14. Within just a few years, Cam had them in the Super Bowl. So that tells you what he was at the time, and then it just kind of went down from there. But then, do you think, do you, would you take a trip to the Super Bowl in a short period of time, within just a few years, to draft a guy first overall? And I think that most of us would say yes. 2012, Andrew Luck was picked. 2011, the Colts were 2-14. You remember the statement, "Suck for luck." The Colts nearly lost out on Andrew Luck. Now we know Andrew Luck retired early, but from the time that he was drafted and when he was healthy, Andrew Luck was an elite quarterback. Never Peyton Manning level. But Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning, and Andrew Luck will never be Peyton Manning because no one else will. Nothing bad against Luck. We just know exactly who he is and who Peyton Manning is. 2013, Eric Fisher. This, we're not going to talk about offensive tackle. Him and Luke Joeckel went 1-2. The reason why I find this interesting is because that draft was not that good. It is one of those things that if you read anybody who does, it talks about the 2013 draft, it wasn't all that good. Now, Kansas City picked him, and he did play for several years. He won a Super Bowl or two, but if you pick an offensive tackle first overall, that tells you either your need in quarterback isn't there, no one would trade up for him because of either the guaranteed money at that time or the fact there was no reason to trade up. Or number three, you looked at everybody below him and there was not anybody that you would want. Shout out to the Chippewas, but was Eric Fisher worth the number one draft pick? The next year, Jadeveon Clowney from South Carolina made it. Now, I want to point out something about him. We all know who he was from that one hit in the, I believe it was a Citrus Bowl, where he knocked a guy's helmet off, and we had to check in that helmet to see if his head is in there. Jadeveon Clowney was a talent. He was a talent, and I know that the GM for the Houston Texans got a lot of, the Texans got a lot of grief for that. I think he did a good job. I think it was a good pick. Jadeveon played great for several years, did a lot of moving, but was a serviceable player for several years. And that to me is good too. If a guy plays for more than 10 years, maybe not with you, but 10, he was a good player. Jadeveon Clowney. Now go on to 2014. Tampa Bay ends the year with 2-14. In that next draft, there were two people that were picked to be who could be the number one draft pick. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers picked one, my Titans picked number two. It was either between Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. Is picked number one. Marcus was picked number two. It's out on who had a better career. To me, Jameis Winston had a better passing career, but was very reckless on his passing. Marcus Mariota was very consistent, but doesn't start now. He has moved around from team to team. I don't know. I think Jameis, he's up in New York now. Will he be a starter? Probably. He'll start a few times, but what do you do in that situation? Who do you pick? Tampa Bay picked Jameis Winston. Go to 2015. The Rams were 7-14, but moved up with the Titans to get Jared Goff. Now, I'll tell you, Jared Goff did okay. Took him to a Super Bowl. Didn't do great in the Super Bowl. I believe that Jeff Fisher signed or drafted him, but we know that Sean McVay used him to get to a Super Bowl. Now he's up in Detroit revitalizing his career. And could they be on the cusp of making it further than just the second round, which they did last year, and the Commanders destroy them? I don't know. I think Jared Goff's a good quarterback. Was he the number one draft pick? Was he worth that? I would say so. If you can, again, make it to the Super Bowl and do a great job in Detroit, it's a pretty good player. Go down to 2017. In 2017 draft, Myles Garrett was picked by the Cleveland Browns. No doubt that this was a perfect pick. Myles Garrett is a monster. He is a monster. He is probably one of the best defensive players that I've ever seen. And I've seen Lawrence Taylor play. I watch Reggie White play. I even saw Mike Singletary play. You look at these guys and you think, well, how in the world can Myles Garrett be that good? You think he is just that good, and he got paid for it this year. Myles Garrett was worth it. But the next year, the Browns in 2017, the Browns go 0-16. So again, they get the number one draft pick, which you don't want to draft number one 2 years in a row, but they did. They got a guy named Baker Mayfield. Baker struggled and then did well. Struggled and then did well. Got run out of town, went to Tampa Bay, did well. So far, to me, with somebody like Baker Mayfield, he is very much hot or cold, but when he is on, he is on. And I remember watching that particular draft and hearing them talk about him and said, he's going to be it. He's going to be it. And they were talking about his size. I don't really care about the physical attributes of a quarterback, because you see, that's not the primary thing for me. You see Tom Brady and what he looked like when he got drafted and what he became. To me, it doesn't matter so much size as it is the heart. You can overcome a lot of things if you have dedication and a willingness to keep working at it. Now, when I say that, the next year in 2019 draft, a guy named Kyler Murray came out of Oklahoma. He was an impressive, energetic, just a dynamic player at Oklahoma. There's two things that I had a problem with. Arizona, that year, the previous season, ended up 3-13. They had drafted a guy 10th overall with Josh Rosen. realizing that he was not their guy. They brought in a new quarter, a new coach, and they said, "We're going to go and get Kyler Murray." Now Kyler Murray's still there, and he has flashes, and maybe with the offense that they could put around him, he could even get better. But right now, the jury is still out. But I'll tell you this: his size was also an issue. Again, I have no issue with that so much because Drew Brees did amazing things, and they're very similarly built with height. But he's definitely a better quarterback than Josh Rosen is or ever would be. So I think they did all right with that. The next year, 2019, Cincinnati ended up 2-14. One thing I notice about this is that when a team ends up that bad, there tends to be a push by the fan base if the quarterback is not injured. If your previous quarterback who was great, like when Tom Brady got hurt, Matt Castle was brought in. They weren't going to draft a quarterback the next year. They're going to go back to Brady if he was able to go. Unless there is a quarterback that is established and gets hurt and the team suffers because that, again, Peyton Manning. I believe they had Curtis Painter playing a lot of that season. I don't know if you would want a quarterback if you had established when you fall down. However, Cincinnati in this thing didn't. They picked up a guy named Joe Burrow. What do you know about him? What do you know about him? The one thing I can't stand about the guy is he took out my Titans, even though he got sacked 6 or 7 times in that playoff game with the Titans were the number one overall seed. Joe Burrow's a winner. He took the Bengals to the Super Bowl. He'll probably do it again. And I believe that the Chiefs are the only team that the Chiefs fear in the NFL right now. Overall, is the Bengals because of him. Joe Burrow, a beast. Cincinnati, pay the man even more if you have to. Protect him. Do something. You have to keep this guy upright because he will win you games and maybe even a Super Bowl. The next year, in 2020, Jacksonville ends up 1-15 and they pick Trevor Lawrence. How would you rate him right now? He had good seasons. He's had bad seasons. He had bad coaches. I think that that guy's future has been stunted, excuse me, as a result of the bad coaches. Now, Trevor Lawrence to me is a generational quarterback, but even generational quarterbacks, when put in bad situations, will never become who they are because of that. So, how do you feel about him? Jacksonville fans, are you willing to move on from a guy like Trevor Lawrence? Are you willing to move on from that? They became competitive and then didn't. Do you blame that on Trevor Lawrence or do you blame that on a lot of things? I think the blame can be spread out. But again, the next year, Jacksonville gets the number one overall pick. Pick Trevon Walker, excuse me. I remember this pick. I thought, oh, why would you do that? I'm wrong. He's good. Trevon Walker's good. I take that back. I take that back. But the next 2 years, and this is where we're going to finish with this, the next 2 years came about in weird ways. Carolina ends up not the number one overall pick. The Bears had that. Carolina jumps up, and they gave up a lot for him to get Bryce Young from Alabama. When you give up a lot of picks to move up, Jared Goff in particular, when you end up giving up a lot of picks to move up, I mean, you did it with Daniel. You see that with somebody like Daniel Jones in that sense, or you move up to get a guy that you could have gotten at a certain pick. You move up to make sure you get him. You have to deal with the consequences, aren't? And sometimes the consequences will never be seen in that in the situation under that GM. That GM might be fired before you actually see the results of it. And when you see the results of it, you may say, well, that GM was right or that GM was wrong. In Carolina's case, you put your hope in Bryce Young. That rookie year, he was awful. Last year, he was okay. But you may not see the results of of the GM's decision while the GM is there. Now, if you're the GM, would you stake your reputation and those draft picks on getting a guy like Bryce Young? Personally, I like the guy. But we will see. But the next year, Carolina ends up worst, the worst team in the NFL, getting the number one draft pick. But they traded that number one draft pick because they didn't know they were going to be number one. But they traded that first round draft pick to the Bears in order to move up to get Bryce Young. And we know what happened. They got Caleb Williams. And again, that was last year. The jury is still out on him, obviously. So you see that the most. That out of these last few years of draft picks, the worst teams tend to take quarterbacks and they hook up their future upon those quarterbacks. And several of them did all right or doing all right. But there have been a few that just didn't. And you can go back as far as you want to and see that that's the case, that they're not always going to pan out. But the most important position in NFL is the quarterback. If your quarterback is doing awful, your team will do awful. Last year, Will Levis made a bunch of mistakes. The Titans paid for that. If he hadn't turned the ball over as many times, the Titans probably wouldn't be the number one draft pick, and Will Levis wouldn't be concerned about his job. Now, what's going to happen this year? Don't know. I would like to see the Titans move down. I would like to see them get Travis Hunter and just be happy with it and pick up in the lower, pick up Jackson Dart. I would love to see that. But we're going to see, it's probably going to be Cam Ward out of Miami. We're going to see that as a possibility. How he would do, I don't know. I would love to see Cam Ward win Rookie of the Year. Vince Young did. I would love to see him as a Titan. I would love to see that. Will it happen? Don't know. Don't know. Vince Young is another one of the quarterbacks the Titans got that was pretty high up. He did okay his rookie year, and then it just kind of went down after that. How do you rate your team? If I mentioned your team on this list, how would you rate their number one draft pick? How would you do that? Or if your team is in the high, we're going to talk about this in the next couple of days, the next episode of the Football's Family Podcast, where we're going to do a draft order and we're going to do a mock draft with my friend Travis Creasy. Where do you think your team will pick? What do you think your team will pick? Who is that main guy for you? Do you want to trade up? Do you want to trade down? Is Cam Ward that important to you that you will reach out to the Titans brass and say, we are willing to give up XYZ for him? Because obviously, I think Cam Ward is the number one draft pick this year. What do you think? If you want to be on the Football's Family podcast, just message me at Jeremy underscore McFarland on Twitter. You can reach me on the Football's Family Facebook page. And as always, thank you for listening to the Football's Family.
It is time to bring back the game that teaches players how to think. Modern youth soccer is more organized than ever, yet many young players are missing one of the most powerful development tools in the game, unstructured free play. The importance of unstructured free play, coaching with a street soccer mentality, challenges coaches, parents, and player development leaders to rethink how young athletes learn. Drawing from decades of coaching experience, child development principles, and the timeless lessons of street soccer, author Giovanni Puccini shows why creativity, decision-making, resilience, joy, and soccer IQ grow when players are given space to explore the game. The importance of unstructured free play, coaching with a street soccer mentality, is a book for grassroots coaches, youth soccer directors, parents, educators, and anyone who believes that player development should produce more than organized drill followers. It offers a practical approach for balancing structure with freedom using guided learning, constraints, small-sided games, reflection, and activity designs that let the game be the ultimate teacher. Order your copy of The Importance of Unstructured Free Play, Coaching with a Street Soccer Mentality on Amazon today.